seconds then. Yep. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to a very special episode of Men's Truth, where the men dive into the deeper issues that they have already discussed. Today, on our 10th episode, we're bringing in a special guest, me, a first lady. My name is Jessica White, and I have been an avid listener of the show for quite a while, and I'm truly honored to have been invited to be a part of this very special episode.
So thank you, Jessica. I'll allow Mr. Natu to introduce himself first.
Hi, Jessica. I'm Michael Natu.
Yeah, I'm Michael Natu.
Thank you for joining us for this, our Big Ten. Stephanie is going to introduce me as a journalist.
Journalist and poet extraordinaire.
That's the script. I hope this will be a very special episode. It's already shaping up to be that way.
To my left, Mr. Ellis.
How are you doing, Jessica? All right, look forward to getting to this one.
And I am Stefan Campbell, lecturer and communication consultant, and I'm really looking forward to this episode. So, without further ado, Jessica, I heard you have some questions for us.
All right, so before we even get to the question, we want to focus on the questions that women may have that they either never asked me, or they've thought of asking, but the opportunity has never arisen, or this unfortunate truth is the questions we ask, but we've not really gotten the real or truthful response. Because normally the men that we're asking, not that they have an agenda, but based on the kind of relationship we have with them, their response might be geared towards what they think we want to hear versus the absolute truth.
And that's a serious distinction, a very, very serious distinction there.
Absolutely. Armed with that frame of mind, I went to several of my female friends and I asked them, you know, what is it that you would want to ask men? And be able to get a truthful response to, regardless of how big, but genuine answer to those questions.
Yeah.
You know, they really came out with them. Nobody came with any kind of vindictiveness or, you know, anger towards men, but just a general curiosity as to why certain things happen or don't happen. We're going to start with some simple questions. I had to trim down the questions. I had many, and I trimmed it down to 20.
Wow, you trimmed it down to 20.
Yes.
Wow.
So we'll see how it goes from there. So the first question is, and it can probably be linked into the second one as well. Why does it seem that infidelity is so much harder for men to deal with when it happens to them versus women? Why does it seem to be more allowed, or society makes it appear that a man being unfaithful is okay and it's something to be gotten over easily versus a woman who does the same thing, but it's the greatest thing in the world?
Well, we put women on a pedestal, meaning we want that pure woman. That's when we think about it in our mind, that's what a lot of men expect. So, in other words, we don't want a woman to be behaving like a man, because to be honest, we don't really hold ourselves to that high standard. If you want to call it high or low, That's subject to your opinion. But in other words, a woman is supposed to be better than us. Why would a man want a woman that is not better than he is? So why is the woman stooping to that level to behave like one of us?
Level.
Yeah, you know, she shouldn't. She should be better than us.
I've heard it said before that, you know, a man can penetrate a woman and not be unfaithful, but if a woman is penetrated by another man, it's automatic infidelity.
Even before that, not even penetration. Even I think women cheat emotionally even before they get the physical. And it is far more painful for us to know that. I've known men to have forgiven women for infidelity, if it's just a physical, but to know that there's this emotional connection, that is far.
If he's had dinner, if he got home safe, does he miss her?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
man.
It's a big double standard that we have out there, and we accept it as men. It's kind of selfish, but as Stefan brought up the whole emotions thing, let me use myself as an example. Like, I can literally go out there and cheat, as we call it in today's day, with another woman, and I mean, I'm as soon as I come, I forget about that girl. There's no emotional attachment there. I can go to my woman, and I mean, I'm the best man that ever walked. However, where as now women, they tend to be more emotionally tied to it. You really find, I mean, they're out there, but you really find a woman that doesn't get up and have sex with a random guy for no reason. They are out there, but it's not that, it's not that wide, like how
that's
us.
That's the kind of tie back what you guys were talking about last week. That
precisely.
Part of that, so, quote-unquote, woman tie.
Exactly, so. There's, and also, it's very hard to know that, you know, my woman emotionally gave away herself to somebody else, just like that. And, so, yeah.
And Jessica, the reality is, you know, we've been raised as men, even from young boys, to own and to conquer, you know. So, so imagine this thing that, as I said, this is the truth. So, usually we feel like we own the woman. And when I say we, I'm not talking we in this room, but collectively as men, as a society. The woman that you're with is not necessarily a woman you're with, it's a woman you own. So she's supposed to fit a particular mold. When she goes against that, then it can be, especially when it's based on a fickle ego, then it can be utterly destructive, totally. Because it means that all of the things we believed in was an actual lie. And I know not to want to jump in here as well.
I've been quiet because I've been thinking really hard about this. I think I can't necessarily relate to the whole ownership perspective. I know that may be the exception, obviously it's not the rule, but for me, and in terms of what I have observed and in my experiences as well, it's pretty much it's a combination of ego and expectations and also a bit of pressure as well, because I remember, you know, the community I grew up in, when even women sort of looked down on you when you didn't have a lot of women. So these women expected you to be quote-unquote unfaithful. Like if you were a one burner, these very same women would laugh at you. So it was sort of that pressure. Even if you wanted to break the mold and say, you know, I wanted to be a committed man. I want to be somebody who is just, you know, it's one woman. A woman would then pretty much ostracize you for being that way. So you pretty much had to either conform or be alienated. So when you conform to those pressures now, and then you see women behaving a different way because, you know, they put that pressure on you, but your expectations of them are, I'm not sure if high or low is the right word, but your expectations of them are different. So when they act outside of the bounds of those expectations, it's not like you're trying to control your child, but it's a bit of shock and confusion, and therefore you tend to process that. Oftentimes I've seen in men in a very negative way. So women are either beaten or worse, killed, you know, and we've seen a certain that before the apocalypse started. So, you know, yeah.
But I mean, before Jessica joins back, like, why do we feel bad when a woman cheats on us?
You feel hurt.
You feel
inadequate. No, but based on what? Because I mean, women are usually.
No, well, it depends. And again, we're talking about your personal woman here, like the girl that you say, all right, my one is my prize and my whatever.
Right. Usually the women forgive us more easily when we cheat than we forgive the woman. So we're trying to figure out why. What do you think?
Why women are more likely to forgive?
Yes, for cheating than the men.
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that boils down to one. I'm not saying that men don't love hard, but women love deeply, like that. And it's easier for us to look over that, especially if you do seem repentant. Because we don't really want to lose you. We don't want to lose a man that we love, because we've invested so much time and energy and effort into this relationship.
Okay. I mean, I know you're asking us questions, but that is good to know that perspective.
You know? But of course, everybody has a limit.
Yes.
Everybody does have a limit, and it's not excusing the behavior. Some persons cheat on them once, and they're gone. Others don't put up with it for years, just because it can either be love or it's just easier to stay. Sometimes it's just easier to stay. I know a married couple. I know that for them, they have their problems, but they can't. They don't want to end it because it's too much work to end it, to go and, you know, all of the assets that they have together and their children.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much of it's too much work.
Yeah.
It's just easier to stay together,
yeah,
even though, you know, they're not exactly. Yeah.
But Karim asked a question before you ask us the next question. Karim asked a question. Do women expect a man to cheat?
Boy, the Jamaican culture would make you feel so good. The Jamaican culture would make you feel that if he does cheat, he's not supposed to be surprised. Okay. You man does cheat on you? Look here, guys. The only woman who knows that what her man is doing 24 hours of a day is a widow. Okay?
Next question. Let me see what else you have for us in the chamber.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Here's the hypothetical situation for it. Now, you have to choose one, and it's permanent. It will not change. You can't adjust it to what's convenient for you. It is what it is. Which of these scenarios would you see yourself being in or selecting? One, a woman who is, to say she's careless with money is an understatement. Being with her is almost a guaranteed lifetime of, I don't want to say destitute, but money doesn't stay in her hand very long. And for whatever reason, she's in charge of the money. But you're almost borderline poverty with her. But she's faithful to you.
That's one. Okay.
She supports you. Right. But she's terrible.
Okay, so that's terrible. So that's one. Okay, so what's the other option?
The other option is a woman who is ambitious, financially savvy, is able to develop you as a man as it relates to money and growth. However, she is occasionally unfaithful.
Those are the two options, yeah.
Those are the two options. You cannot change the girl who is not good with money and teach her, and you cannot.
We make the point respond to that first.
So just a bit of clarification. When you said support, like the woman supports you, what does that mean?
She provides emotional support. And of course, you know, she's faithful. She's dedicated only to you.
That's the one that spent out the money?
That's the one.
So she's bad with money.
With the money.
Okay.
You have to choose one.
This is making my head hurt because it's too extreme.
And you cannot be single. You have to choose one of them.
Yeah, give me the broke woman.
Yeah, you know what? I'll tell you the broke woman. Because for my Marina, if she's bad with money, then I'm going to be good with money. You know, I think balance is...
She's the one who's in charge of the money.
What?
Wait,
she's the one who's in charge of the money.
No, man, give me the other one. You know what
the implication here is? If she's...
This is
what I'm getting. The implication here is that... So she handles the money, which means I have enough money to identify somebody who is clearly bad at managing money. I have enough to be able to say, you know what, it doesn't matter.
Like, on the verge of filing for bankruptcy.
I'll take the bond.
So hold on. If we are on the verge of filing for bankruptcy.
Hopefully the man contribute to the household, pay some bills and things.
I asked two other men the question and they said, give us the one that is giving us money.
Yeah man.
I would rather live with that mental anguish and still have food and have money.
Brilliant.
And rather
brilliant.
Be hungry and still try to figure out where am I going to get.
Brilliant. From. Brilliant.
But for me, like, I don't know, I feel like if you go with the poor woman who has bad money management, right? If you are looking at a longer situation, because I believe, like, you know, peace of mind is very important in a relationship.
Yeah, but
it's very important to you as well as a man.
Yeah.
So that, when we,
I have no problem with that open relationship. If you give one, at least we can talk about it and make it.
I can't peace of mind, bro.
A hungry belly.
No. Like,
that's true.
But on the other end,
a fairy tale.
You can't have peace of mind and then a situation where you are expecting. Like a devotion from the
world. No, but if it's known, me does mentally program itself. Yeah. Me aside, man.
They say money can't buy happiness, but it can buy things to make you happy. So,
or at least pretend to be.
Amen. 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 You know, but general, may I go feel you will feel emasculated.
Exactly.
For the next set of questions, I'm going to let you guys. I'm going to let you decide.
Oh boy.
A question about something related to emasculating or something related to peace of mind. Which question would you like to try?
Peace of mind.
Peace of mind, yep.
The peace of mind question.
Peace of
okay.
Mind.
I like this question. A friend of mine said, okay, during this whole COVID experience, a lot of couples are spending an unprecedented amount of time together that they don't normally, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it can be very trying and difficult, and because you're in this space together, it can be hard to get a sense of peace. How is it that a couple perhaps could try and find peace with each other rather than them trying to get it from outside?
To be honest with you, that question, communication is important in any relationship.
That's very true.
And as long as both persons understand, I'm assuming this couple, I mean, they've been together for a while, so they should at least understand what the other person wants or what the other person values. The man might probably need some space. I, for one, I can use myself as an example. I like my space. There's times I really don't want to be around you or anybody. And I mean, it's not necessarily, it's nothing personal. It's just that I just need to unwind and let my thoughts just flow and whatever. And I don't love you no less or anything like that. And I mean, you have some women who they require quality time. So I guess as long as you can find that balance between both and communicate it, sometimes it has to be scheduled, seeing that, I mean, you guys are not going out to work or coming back in. You guys are actually in one house. I mean, there a conversation needs to be had and stuff does need to be communicated properly and some compromise needs to be met. I mean, that's how relationships actually work. It's not easy, but as long as there's a conversation that's my two cents. And I mean, don't forget to add in the sex, because that along with it will.
I'm wondering. I mean.
Yeah, man. The sex is very important.
Okay, yes, the prospect of your partner's with you all the time, so you can have as much sex as you could possibly want. But isn't it like having too much cheesecake? Wasn't eventually it gets a little bit cloying, and it's like, okay, yes, we had sex 6 times yesterday.
Before I get to the sex part, I want to add to what Karim said. Definitely, well, even before the communication, in my mind, if you are uncertain about whether this person is your piece or not, and it takes COVID for you to recognize that, then you already started on the wrong foot. And I think it's because society, we've used school and work as distractions to get away from the other person. And so the concept of quality time fits into the concept that we are busy and we are taking time to spend with the person. So there are a lot of things, there are a lot of concepts that are going to be affected by this COVID thing. With that in mind, if you're trying to find peace in your relationship, you decide that you want to find peace in your relationship or make that person your peace, then you need to understand that men have a different concept of peace than women. And peace does not mean quiet. Which means that peace doesn't necessarily mean that we're not going to disagree, but it means how do we come out of that without having to malice or pre one another and keep it in the back of your mind and make the space even more uncomfortable, right? Yeah. So even before talking about or communicating, my concept of peace might be different from your concept of peace. So that's the first question we need to ask. Like, when you say you want peace of mind, what do you mean? Do you mean that you want reassurance? Do you mean that you want me to say I love you every hour? Do you mean that you want us to have a time where we sit and read together so that I know that we are on the same wavelength? Or does peace of mind mean, as Karim said, that I have time for myself to think by myself? These are things, and we can't judge the other person for what their idea of peace of mind is. So if I say I want time for myself, you can't look at me as a bad guy for saying it. That means you can't internalize it and say that what I'm saying is that you, yes, right, exactly. And then when it comes to the sex thing, listen, the good thing about being inside is that, especially if you have internet access, there's so many ways to spice it up, man. So many ways to spice it up, so it doesn't have to be the one boring thing. But sex is a fundamental part. And I mean, not even just sex too, talking about your hopes and dreams and your future. How, when we survive the zombie apocalypse, what happens after that? That's part of peace of mind too.
Yeah, man, certainly I agree with everything Karim and Stefan said. I honestly feel like at the core of all of this is communication. Like, it's pretty important because it is through communication that you will sort of, you know, rediscover or discover new things about each other that will sort of help to create that novelty. Because what happens is when you're in the same space together, and as Stefan pointed out, when work is no longer a distraction, or, you know, going out is no longer a distraction, you have to...
There's nobody else.
Right. And those usually quiet spaces will now have to be filled with something. And so that's where communication becomes important. And then like, even with sex, it's in a sense a form of communication
as well.
That's very, very true.
So I feel like, and with the general perception surrounding it, you know, oftentimes people, this is a good opportunity to really have, you know, heart to heart about art, then, you know, we had success today, like, you know, constructive criticism.
And by some ties, some character.
That was my other question. Why is it that some men feel emasculated by the introduction of sex toys?
Yeah, when a man sees a woman being pleasured by a toy and he's not at that mental capacity yet where he can accept that, probably he's thinking that the toy will outdo him or will replace him. And as a man, we have this selfish thing where we kind of always want to feel needed in some, especially sexually. And I mean, you have some toys out there that can make a woman do stuff that you've never done if you are not at that level yet.
But again,
it comes down to how open the guy is and
how comfortable he is.
Exactly, and how the research that he's willing to do, because it's not hard. If you really research how to really please your woman sexually, you can learn to do other stuff. You understand? Some men still see these objects as another quote unquote man, if you understand what I'm saying, it's a replacement.
But for a guy
that's open and I mean open, mentally there and understand what it takes to please a woman and all of that, and in himself he knows what he's capable of, he's confident, he doesn't feel belittled by any of his shortcomings. He's a confident man. He has no problem going out there getting his woman a vibrator or a toy, using it on her. For me, it's less work for me. The quicker you get to your climax, the less work I have to do on my. You understand? So I am someone that I keep saying that there are certain conversations that need to be had before you get into a relationship, a serious relationship with somebody, so you can at least know where their headspace is. And in form of sexual conversations, these are questions I would ask. I would literally ask a woman I'm getting involved with, what is your take on a threesome with two guys? What is your take on using toys? Because I want to know what's in her head, so I know that when I get into that relationship or we reach a state sexually, I don't have nothing to surprise me. So if I'm going to talk to a girl and she's going to tell me that, listen, straight up, I don't want to be fully committed to you or whatever the case may be, these are stuff that we get out of the way, so when I get into that relationship with her, I have no expectations on that, so I'll be less disappointed. And you might never know, I might actually like it. So it all depends on what the guy is able to handle within himself and as a unit.
To backtrack a bit, I think it's not so much that men have a problem incorporating sex toys into the whole experience, but it's that usually when it is presented as an option, it's not done without an attack. Because sometimes when a woman says, can we use another toy, like the man interprets that as being, oh, so I'm inadequate. You know, so it takes a certain level of tact to introduce that to the conversation. Because if you come and say, yo, like, I want to use a toy.
So what do you think if we were to try this? And it's not during sex. It's like, say you're just watching TV. And today, how would you feel if you were to try XYZ?
Yeah, because that's a lot better, and it's not out of context. But oftentimes, when these conversations come up, it's usually in a position where the man is left to feel like, oh, I'm not doing a good enough job. And even if that is the case, it helps to communicate that better without having the person's self-esteem becoming damaged in the process, you know? I feel like that's it as well.
Okay, another question that I got more than once was, what are your thoughts on gender roles in a relationship?
I think this question, I really think it boils down to the two people in the relationship.
Yep.
Because I definitely don't want to speak on behalf of my entire gender.
Yep.
And I don't want to speak about my expectations for the female gender either. There are some things I am okay with, right? For me. And in terms of breaking out of these gender expectations, it has to be a discussion between the man and the woman, the whatever partner structure, the two women and the one man, or however, because all of these things are linked to gender roles and expectations.
Every relationship is different.
Yeah.
And there are different dynamics to every relationship. You might have a man that loves to cook and a woman that doesn't like to be in the kitchen. And you can have a woman that loves to cook and a man that decides that he just wants to wake up and eat. So that question, as Steph quite rightly said, I think it's a conversation between the two and whatever. But
there's one thing I don't want women to do. So a woman might see a man who, in her mind, fits the role of what a man should be. And she compares the person she is with to that person. Right? And we're talking about gender roles, and I see it happen. Oftentimes, I am the person who the woman uses to compare to her man, right? As the archetype for what it's the reality of what a real man is supposed to be and all of these things. And I have to caution women, just because the man is a certain way doesn't make him any less of a man, right? And again, that has to be a discussion that you and the individual needs to have. As Karim says, a man might like to cook. I don't like to cook. I like to do yard work, and that's based on my socialization and my upbringing. Yes, right? And I am very honest and open about that. So don't try to come in the relationship and tell me that a real man knows how to cook, because we're going to be in problems. That has nothing to do with my measure of a man. Yeah, exactly, you know? And I think, yeah, and I think a lot of women, if a man says, as Karim said, I don't wash clothes, that doesn't mean
I am less of a man.
That doesn't mean I'm less of a man. And also, that doesn't mean because as a woman you wash clothes that I look at you as less than me. Exactly, you know. This is a balance.
You know, I think a lot of problem. One of the main issues that we have is I think there's this big competition, and it shouldn't be a case where we're having competition in relationship. Relationship should be about building each other. You complimenting me, me complimenting you.
They're creating that compatibility.
Exactly. So you come together, and each person, my strengths is your weakness, my weakness is your strength, vice versa. We work on that.
Supplemental.
So, exactly. Yeah. So it shouldn't be a case where you're the woman, you have to do that, me the man, you have
to
do that.
Yeah, not supposed to. So yeah.
People just need to wake up. People just need to wake up and get out of that medieval thinking and all of that, and just understand that these are stuff that we, if we're getting into a relationship, we're working for something to better us. Something that in a sense that should be quantified. Whether you are doing less or I am doing more, it should be in the scope of your capacity. So it's not something that it's not something that I'm going to put a quantity on. I was going to say, all right, so I do 5 things, you need to do 10
because
things.
Because you're a man, are you?
No, it's not like that.
When we become fixated on those roles, we miss a lot of opportunities to show kindness to our partners.
To really get
in the sense that, for example, like in Stefan's case, like he says, you know, he's not a man who loves to cook. Mm-hmm. And if you start to stay fixed to that role, you miss an opportunity to surprise your partner one day that, look, this is not my strong suit, but I tried. You know, like these little nuggets that let people know that, you know, if one day your wife gets up and she doesn't feel like washing the clothes, like you can go wash it. If one day you get up and you don't feel like there's something, like she can take that. So like these little acts of kindness that help to build or strengthen the bond in a relationship.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be, I'm doing it because I'm a man, or you're doing it.
Right.
I'm doing it because you know that I it would appreciate it. And I can tell you, as a woman, it's the small, thoughtful things that really make us be like, damn, I have a good man in my life. It's not always grand gestures.
Yeah, but us too, you know, and I think, even today I was having that discussion, I think women assume that we don't appreciate the small things either. It's not, you don't need to wrap up in lingerie on my birthday and give me sex. Like there are other things. Listen, I love that, but that's not the only thing. You know, and because you put
not a gift.
You wrap that as a gift, and because you put me in a box and say and already established that this is all men want. And the moment you pluralize and instead of looking at me as Stefan and looking at me as men, we're gonna have a problem. Right? So I think that's the best response that we can
do. I do not want sex as a gift. Put it over here right now. Like, sex is not a gift, isn't it?
I agree. For Valentine's Day, for Father's Day, for birthday, like what is that? You can't buy my nice pair of designer socks, a matching tie.
Listen, I don't want
something different.
I don't want
it. Camera, damn it.
Thank you. Thank you for that last one, because I was just going to say, I don't want any tie or socks, because all of these things are still linked to me going out and doing work to provide for you.
So in other
words, you are saying that my value, I have nothing else that is important to me beyond sex and working to provide for you and my family.
You know what, I'll buy you a new cutlass.
Oh no, not listen, man. But the memory card, the camera, the PS,
Buy us a PS5 so we know it's
a
really
PS5, good. A new console, and man. So,
I'm going to give you a gift card to go to whichever gaming website and buy what you want.
Brilliant.
Exactly what you want.
Brilliant.
What, in your opinion, should a woman who you'd want to be as your partner have, or potential partner have? What 5 traits?
That sounds like a Miss Universe question.
Not to
you can answer that one.
She should have long hair, she looks clean, she looks
You know, like when you learn that nouns are adjectives and something like, and you just talk with all of that information, and you just operate from that base. It's kind of like that. Like, that's like going back and trying to figure out. But five traits, I love a woman who values, like, really values communication. And because I feel like a lot of arguing happens in relationships and not a lot of communicating. I feel like they think arguing is communicating, you know? So I like a woman who truly values that and understands that you're like, we don't have to be shouting at each other to arrive at, you know, a reasonable conclusion, you know what I mean?
That's true. Even if we disagree, we can still be civil and talk about it.
Listen, my five in no particular order. Let me stress, no particular order. One, she has to be sexy, right?
Sexy to you.
Sexy, of course, not nobody else.
Right.
Sexy to me, you know? She has to be business-minded. I'm thinking about kingdom building, empire building. She has to be business-minded. She has to be healthy. I'm sorry, she has to be healthy. Physically and mentally healthy. She has to be healthy. And I think it's sort of linked to the other one. She has to come from a good family. I want a good family structure. I want to know what hereditary diseases run in your family. This is not a joke. If I'm thinking about a lifelong partner, I need to know that down the line, there are some things that my children are going to inherit and all of these things, you know? She has to come from a good family in terms of, it doesn't even have to be, you know, two parents, hypothetically speaking. But she has to have any woman who doesn't love her family or doesn't have a good relationship with her family, I don't expect her to commit to me in any major way. And that's a reality for me. And finally, she has to have a positive mindset. I can't come to you with an idea and the first thing you do is shoot it down and say that can't work. Right? Those are the five things for me. Rimzi, what are your five?
For me, she has to be attractive. I love an attractive woman. She has to have a positive mind also. Business savvy, business minded, loving and understanding. I mean, yeah, those are really my five.
I'm on a mission to like change the cycle of my family. The toes have to look good.
Honorable mention, the toes have to look good.
Yeah.
Well, look here, there's nothing wrong with that.
I'm very passionate about being black. And so my thing is I need a woman who at least understands
black consciousness.
The consciousness or history. And I need somebody who will be able to impress upon our children the importance of that.
Our culture.
I'm continuing, right. So just be mindful of our culture. business minded as well. I need somebody who, you know, who loves deeply. I think that's very important for me. You know, somebody who kind of understands that you're like our mission is to prioritize each other. So you prioritize my happiness and I prioritize yours. You know, like that will be my mission every day. And so I will be doing things in service of ensuring that even if I'm not your happiness, that I create a space that allows you to find that happiness for yourself.
Or facilitate,
you know?
I'm realizing that definitely the ambitious woman is a recurring theme.
And I think another thing that I want a woman who understands her spirituality. I'm not saying, yo, you have to be this way, but like, be rooted in something. You know, be rooted enough to understand where you are, to understand, and by extension, you know, people's value, understanding the value of other people. Because I don't want a woman who is self-centered. I don't want a woman who only cares about me, and I want a woman who's family-oriented as well.
I respect the spirituality a lot. I mean, I think something that a lot of couples seem to put by the wayside is, you know, what kind of relationship they can have if they try and make, you know, God a part of it. I'm a Christian. I'm a Catholic. And I know for me, as somebody who wants, always who's looking for a partner, somebody to spend their life with, somebody who is there to build on a relationship with God is definitely a criteria for me.
For me, it's just like it's a higher purpose thing. It's not so much a religious thing in that in the sense that we've come to know it to be, but it's about understanding our position in things and you know understanding our humanity. And that's it for me, really.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right, you know that we're gonna have to have a part two, right?
Oh my God, man.
You realize that?
Listen, I know the listeners are definitely gonna want to have a part two because I don't even think we've scratched the surface.
Okay. All right. Here's the last question.
Mm-hmm.
The last question is the idea or prospect of having children is of great importance when getting married. Is this the case for the men of this generation?
I mean, globally, the statistics is saying that people are getting married less, and that's because also globally people are believing in a particular religion less as well, and a lot of times marriage is housed within a traditional or religious context, right? And so people are kind of breaking away from that. There still are men who want to get married, but it's based on the purpose or the intention. But I don't think there's anything wrong with having a child before marriage. But the way weddings or marriage is marketed to us as men, it's not necessarily for us, it's for the woman. It's about making the woman happy. It's the woman's day. You know, it's the bridal party and everything. It's for the woman, really, right? And so you are making the woman happy. It's not necessarily marketed as our day or equally a day that's going to make us happy, you know?
The man is just there to either pay for it or just stand up at the altar.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a concept, happy wife, happy life, which I hate, which means that, in other words, I am bonded to you, ball and chain, right? And my sole purpose is to, but that's where it comes from, you know? I'm bound to you. You have trapped me. I have purchased the cow in order to get the milk. And
which
this
is,
exactly. And so,
it's the presence of the calf, which is a flower.
There you go. Now you understand. And so that's how it's usually marketed to us, right? But for me, my wedding is going to have to be equal. This is not going to, and I'm not going to subscribe to my sole purpose is making you happy.
Yeah.
And I am, no. That's not going, that's definitely not going to happen.
Like Stefan said, the order is not so much of importance, especially to men, I believe.
Yeah.
But even the reason why fewer men are getting married is because, especially in the legal framework, men aren't necessarily given a fair shake. In marriage, particularly when you're looking at divorce and all that, and the thing that for women,
if the woman has a child and you're married, she has the, she gets the house automatically.
Yeah, she gets the house. She even gets a child too. So a lot of men see that, and when you look at a lot of these high profile divorces and all of that, you see where the men are literally getting shafted.
I want the only married man among us to answer before we go.
Drop the knowledge, man.
Legendary.
Okay. I agree with both of you guys. I want to say marriage nowadays is not what it used to be, and Steph highlighted a couple of reasons why. Also, a lot of men they're not willing to risk their livelihood and what they've built just for a woman. And I mean, it's a...
Even if she's seen that,
I risk it, regardless if you've seen that the real deal or not. So having a child before, I think to some men, no, it's probably of more importance. I mean, I don't have a problem with it. Having a child before marriage don't really necessarily it doesn't necessarily mean that child will be brought up with less love or anything like that. You can still have couples that raise a child, co-parent a child, and that child has no issues, no problem, and it's probably better than some kids that were brought up in a...
In a
nuclear household. So, I mean, to me, it doesn't matter, and yeah, that's my two cents on it.
So you are the beginning of the next stage of men's truth. And where would the men be without the women? That's the reality, you know? I mean, we might...
The solution will be podcasting.
Amen, amen. So I'm very, very grateful for it. So Jessica, thank you so very much.
All right, guys.
Take care.
I love you too.
Peace.